Amen. And if you want to give online, you can always go online at our gochurchtx.org, and those are the different ways, text the give or the old-fashioned way. And so just go right underneath the tithe and sow into that. And so, good morning.
Good morning.
All right. All right. I like that, whoever said that. I don't know who that was. Was that Shelley? Way to go, Shelley. My message this morning is remember the cross in Christmas. You see the bumper stickers everywhere, remember the Christ in Christmas, which is so true. But this morning I want to preach on remember the cross in Christmas. Today we will begin a four-week message leading up to Christmas Sunday. And so we normally think of the cross at Easter, but today we're going to think of the cross in Christmas. And we'll talk more about that in just a second. Everybody's heard the song, Happy Birthday, Jesus. Come on. It's like 25 years old, you know. Every church sings it at least like every other year. Happy birthday, Jesus. You know that song? All right. And I'll read you the rest of the lyrics. I'm so glad it's Christmas. All the tinsels and lights and the presents are nice, but the real gift is you. And that's what it's all about. Such a powerful song because it really captures, definitely from a child's perspective, what Christmas is all about. It is all about Jesus. But you know what happens during this time? We get so caught up in so many things. We take for granted those things that are closest to us. We take for granted. We forget about it. We take for granted our spouses. We take for granted our children. And we begin to focus on everything that's not important, and we forget what are the things that are important. When Robin and I lived in Belize, a couple of times Robin had to come back to the States for our surgery, and she was gone for about 4 weeks both of those times. And those times we realized, I mean, I don't cook at all. I can cook toast. And so if you look at some YouTube videos, you'll find me making my kids chicken noodle soup when that time. And let me tell you, working in the kitchen's hard work when you got to make chicken noodle soup every night. And so Robin does all kinds of amazing things like that, but what I didn't really realize is how much that I lean on her emotionally. And so when she was away, I realized how much as a spouse I lean on her emotionally, and we tend to take those things for granted until they're taken away from us. We get so consumed with the petty problems of everyday life that we complain instead of praise. We get so consumed, hear this, of our first world problems. That fast food restaurant didn't serve me well. I will never go back there again. They forgot my ketchup in the bag. I'm so mad. Target needs to add four more lines in what they have, especially during the Christmas season. The internet is so slow today. In fact, when I went to work on Friday, we walked into the office, and we office out of Faith West, and so there were no employees there, and the internet was down. You know what that meant? We could not work, because everything we do in the office virtually revolves around somehow attaching to the internet, and so we eventually had to go home because it wasn't going to kick on because nobody was there. In first world problems, we get our eyes off all of those things and complain about those things, and except for what's important. We may complain about bill pay, that we would be required to write a physical check. How many of y'all wouldn't know how to write a physical check anymore? Probably if you're 20 years and old, younger, you've probably never written a physical check a day in your life. I saw a couple of people nodding their heads like, nope, I've never written a physical check. So we deal with our first world problems. Our Netflix isn't working, first world problems. Our kids didn't put their clothes up the way they were supposed to. They're definitely going to go to prison when they're adults. We get all caught up and distracted all the things that matter maybe a little bit, but really don't matter, and they distract us from the things that are important. Song of Solomon 2:15 says it this way. It says, the little foxes that spoil the vines. It is often the little things that build up to become big things. It is often the little things that distract us from what things are important. In this season, it is so important for us to get distracted on what is important. what Christmas is all about. We can get so busy even doing the Christmas programs that we forget to celebrate the cross and the Christ in Christmas. The need to buy everybody a gift, and what exactly should we buy them, and how much money do we have to buy them, the baking of all the food, the decorations of all the things. We can get so crazy with this season that we get distracted from what Christ in Christmas is all about. It is meant for us. Christmas is meant for us to stop, to remember, because we leak, to remember the Christ in Christmas. 2 Corinthians 9:15 refers to it as for his indescribable gift. So take your eyes off all the gifts and focus on the gift. Take your eyes off all the busyness that will happen over the next 4 weeks. Take your eyes off the lights and focus on the light of the world. This is a sweet time for us to focus on Abba Father and his indescribable gift for us. I heard a story about a young boy that experienced Jesus, experienced an indescribable gift. His name was Misha. The story happened in 1994, right after the Soviet Union fell apart, and missionaries for the first time was able to go to the former Soviet Union at this place, Russia, to preach the gospel. And these missionaries went there. This is a true story. They went there, and they preached mostly in prisons and mostly in orphanages. This particular day, they were preaching in an orphanage, and these children had never heard the story of Christmas. And so as these missionaries were telling the story, these kids were captivated. They were on the edge of their seat. They were silent. They weren't goofing off. They were fascinated by the story, especially when Mary and Joseph came to Bethlehem and there was no room in the inn or there was no shelter for him to go to. Resonated with them really well because they were orphans. They had no mom and no dad. They understood what it was like to not have a shelter, to not have a home to go to. So they listened to the entire story and was amazed by it. Then the missionaries had some cardboard, passing out to all the kids, and says, now would you make a manger story? Would you make the manger story, and we're going to walk around and see it. And so they were all walking around, and everybody was doing a great job with the horses and the donkeys and the camels and the baby in the manger. All of a sudden, they come to Misha's, and Misha has two babies in the manger. They thought maybe he got a little distracted. He didn't quite hear the story. And so can a translator come over here and ask Misha if he could tell us the Christmas story? Well, Misha began, he said, yeah, I can tell it to you. He said, I love the story. He began to tell in a nine-year-old's ability the entire story exactly the way he heard it. I mean, it was amazing, almost perfection the way he heard it, until it came to when they laid Jesus in the manger. And at that point, Misha began to tell his own story. And he said, when they laid Jesus in the manger, Jesus looked at me and he says, do you have a home to go to? And Misha says, I don't have a mom or a dad. I don't have any kind of home to go to. I don't have a home. And Jesus says, well, if you don't have a home, you can stay with me. Misha looked around and he saw the wise men giving the Jesus gifts, and he says, I can't stay here. Everybody that's coming here is giving you gifts, and I don't have a mom or a dad. I don't have a home. I can't give you anything. What can I give you? And then he thought and he said, it's cold outside. We're in a manger. What if I crawled up beside you and warmed you? Would that be a beautiful enough gift? And Jesus looked at Misha and said, that would be the most beautiful gift of all. Would you come? And not only can you stay the night, you can stay with me forever. Well, the missionaries were hearing this story. By the time Misha finished this story, everybody around was crying, obviously, hearing that Misha captured the reality of Jesus. His story was not made up of an imagination of Misha. It was the very real sense that the Holy Spirit was speaking to him in a powerful way. There wasn't one baby in that manger. Misha was right there in Misha's story because Jesus was speaking to him. But what it taught him was there is this indescribable gift, and his name's Jesus. It taught him that Jesus would never leave him nor forsake him. He would always be with him. He finally found someone that wouldn't abandon him, that wouldn't abuse him, someone that would stay with him forever. That is our indescribable gift. It should remind us at Christmas, in the heart of Christmas, that Jesus is that indescribable gift. That Christ is miraculous, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. And that Jesus came at Christmas to head to the cross. And lastly, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So this morning is a beginning of our journey to Christmas. And it's remind us, don't forsake Christmas in the midst of this season. Don't get so busy that you can't come and worship the Lord on Sunday. Don't get so busy that you can't gather with your Go group. Don't get so busy that you get so distracted and frustrated that you don't focus on loving your family and loving those around you. How many of y'all saw in the news the fights that went on Black Friday? You know, in the malls and everything? I don't know where they happened. That's crazy. That's America. We're loving Jesus. That's the last toy. Give it to me. I will fight you. Or Elizabeth would say, I will cut you. Somebody lost Christmas. They lost Christ in Christmas. So remember today the cross and Christmas. Number one, the miracle of Christmas. John chapter 1 verses 14 says it this way. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. The birth of Christ is a miracle of God. Born of a virgin, a child inside Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit, miraculous. Micah chapter 5:2 prophesied that the coming of the Messiah would come to Bethlehem. That only happened because there was a census going on and Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem. Perfect timing. Miraculous timing. Jesus is the Word. In John 1:1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is defining and describing who Jesus is. Verse 3 of that text says, all things were made through Jesus. And the Word became flesh. Miraculous. The eternal God, born of a womb of a woman, he created. Think about that. God came in the form of Jesus through a womb from a woman that he created. Miraculous. Have you ever been around someone and you just wish, I mean, they just got like super blessed. I mean, I don't know, you know, they just got a new pay raise. They just got a new job that paid like twice as much. And you're like, I wish that was my blessing. Anybody ever saw that? You know, someone got a new, a brand new iPhone and you looked at them and says, I still have my iPhone 6. I wish that was me. Anybody? You can admit it. Nobody? Yeah, everybody's like this. Yeah, nobody wants to admit it. I mean, we all do that. We always see somebody drives up in a new car and like, I wish that was me. I wish that was me. Have you ever been in a room where you were sick and someone got supernaturally healed and you're like, dude, I wish that was me. You know, I wish that was me. You know, Dodie over there is like, yeah, I have that issue every once in a while. We all do. And we always wish it was my miracle. Well, Christmas is our miracle. It is for us. Jesus came to head to the cross, and the cross and the resurrection of Jesus was and is our miracle, because Jesus is still in the miracle working business. God still heals the sick in 2019, and he still will heal the sick in 2020. God still can cure back. He still can deliver the depressed. He can still heal the scars of the past, because God is still in the miracle working business. Jody, I didn't have, it's not up there, but can you put our Foursquare, our church logo up there? May take you, oh, perfect. If you don't know what Foursquare means, Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is our healer. And Jesus is our soon coming King. That is the Foursquare gospel. That is the logo of a denomination that shares the wholeness of who Jesus is. He is our Savior, our baptizer, and yes, he is our healer. Because Christmas is miraculous. Number two, the Christ in Christmas. Isaiah chapter 9, 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful." Everybody say Wonderful. Say Counselor. Say Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. This text was written 600 to 1,000 years before Jesus was born in a manger. 600 to 1,000 years earlier, and yet Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. He is that mighty God, that everlasting Father, that Prince of Peace. Christ brought the fulfillment of this world, this word. He left a mansion of heaven for a manger for you. He left the pearly gates for a wooden corral. He left the streets of gold for straw floors. He left the glassy seas for a water trough. He left an angelic choir to the sounds of angels in a stable. He left the throne room to be born in an animal's room. He left the mansion to be born in a manger. The Bible says, "For unto us a child is born. Born of flesh and blood, just like all of you are. Born as tiny and frail." Have you ever thought that Joseph and Mary got to touch his feet before anybody else did? Because when a baby's born in your home, and as a mom and a dad, you get all the first. How many of y'all remember that time that your child just began to laugh? I mean, not just ha, but I mean like laugh, like from the belly, and you begin to watch that and listen to that. I remember Rod and I, we just cried. The first time your child says daddy or mommy, and which one comes first? Huh? He said daddy first. Huh? He loves me best. Tori's here. She goes back today. When she was two, I would look at her. I'd be holding her. You know, she's, you know, my sweet daughter. I have an older son, and now at this point, I only have one daughter. I look at her straight in the eye, and she had these gorgeous, still does, gorgeous blue eyes. But back then, I mean, they were half her head. They were so big. And I would look at her, and I was like, "Your daddy sure does love you." She would look at me straight in the eye and says, "And I love mommy." For real. We get to enjoy all the first in life. We get to experience all of those things. Joseph and Mary got to see Jesus take his first steps and enjoy those moments. He was just a child, just like us, and yet he was Messiah. Just a child, and yet he would become our Redeemer. Just a child, but he was Lord. Just a child, but at the same time, he was 100% God. Crazy for us and our humanity to grasp that Jesus was 100% man and yet 100% God at the same time. The manger held the Messiah. And thirdly, the cross. Remember the cross in Christmas. 1 John chapter 11 and 12. Says, "And he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believed in his name." At Christmas, we cannot forget that the destiny of Jesus was the cross. Jesus was born to die. Is that crazy? He was born to die and to give himself, according to the word, as a ransom for you and I. In the beauty of our Christmas story, and I don't know about you, but we have like three mangers all around the house, you know. We have all kinds of images of Christmas all around the house. And all of that, we need to realize that Jesus came for a destiny to redeem us back to him. That's a choice each and every person must make. It's not a choice that we're born in America. It's not a choice that we're born in a Christian family. It is a choice that you and I must individually make, whether that you're 7 years old or whether you're at my grandfather's age, 86 years old. We individually have to choose and understand that Jesus came for me, and I must willingly and voluntarily give my life and accept the gift that he's given to me. The cross was the reason for his birth. The manger was in the shadow of the cross. Jesus came to give. Matthew chapter 20, 28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many, Jesus came to give. In this season, we as a people of God are givers because Jesus came to give. He came to set us free. He came to pay the price. He came to give us the greatest gift of all. It's more important than your marriage. It's more important than you having children. It's more important than your job. Your salvation is the most important thing. We need to cherish our salvation. That's why we constantly need to groom it. We constantly need to challenge our own walk with Jesus. I say this all the time, but the reason the body of Christ coming together, the Bible says in Hebrews, do not forsake the assembling together. But the reason for that, because we need to challenge our walk. Because we typically can't stand still. We're not like an airplane. We're like a helicopter. I always say that word wrong. And so a helicopter, if you're standing still, you're going down. We constantly got to be moving forward. We constantly need to circle ourselves around believers who will challenge our faith, who will challenge us, because all of us go through seasons where we're not seeing things right. Anybody here see everything right? Your opinions are always right, right? Nobody here. And since they're not always right, oftentimes, if you're anything like me, if left to myself, I think I'm always right. Anybody else like me? So there have to be someone else around me to let me know that I'm not right. I've told you probably this story before, and it's an embarrassment on me, but I'm going to tell you something that I've probably told you before. Tori, like, rolled her head, like, what is he going to say? Please never do this. This is terrible advice from a pastor, okay? Terrible advice. But one time, Robin and I were in Belize, and we were having a fight. I mean, we're not talking we just disagreed. I mean, we were upset. I don't even remember what it was about. Spouses, I'm sure y'all have your own fights in your own way. But we were the worst thing I could have ever done. I'm like, I know I'm right. I know I am right. She is absolutely wrong. I'm going to prove to her right. And Josh and Tori's are around. I'm like, Josh, come in here. Terrible advice. Never include your kids. See? Everybody's looking at me like, yeah, stupid. What are you thinking of? Josh, I mean, who's right here, And Josh obviously is very awkward. I think Mom is. Oh, that made me so mad. So I sent him to his room and grounded him for a month. No, that's not true. Because we oftentimes think we're right. We need people in our lives to tell us when we're wrong. We need people to direct us to the Word, which is always right. When I was in Bible college, I had a theology, and I remember in Bible college, there's a story of Masada. It was in 70 AD, 5,000 Jewish soldiers gathered on this fortress called Masada when the Roman army, a true story, when the Roman army was trying to annihilate at least all the elites of the Jews and take over the land. They was tired of playing the games with them, and so was going to kill these 5,000 Jews on Masada. True story. 70 AD, after the New Testament closes, about 65 years after that. And when the Romans, they built this huge ramp. It was about a mile. I've been to Masada. It's 120 degrees heat up, overlooking the Dead Sea. And it's about a mile high. And the Romans built fortresses all around the mountain. And it took them, I believe, 2 years. I could be wrong on that. But I believe 2 years to build this huge ramp to the very, very top. And when they got to the very, very top, they were going to kill them all. So instead of allowing the Romans to kill them, all the Jews killed themselves. And I was in Bible college, and I read this in Bible college, and I'm like, wow, it didn't give the Romans the victory. Wow, that is so cool. And I went and sat down at a table, and I said, that was just so cool that they never gave the Romans a victory. Isn't that cool? And I had this kid look across me and says, no, it's not cool. That's never acceptable, never right. They never gave God a chance to intervene, whether he would have or not. They never gave God that chance to intervene. And I looked at him, stupid. And I walked back to my room, but he was right. Why am I telling you this story? Because we oftentimes, left to ourselves, form our own opinions and thought processes that do not line up with this book, and we say, well, that's the way I believe. How many people have you ever talked to about faith, and they say, I don't know what the book says, but I believe, or I was raised, and you know, you think in your head, you'd probably never say this directly to them, but you're thinking, I don't really care how you believe or how you were raised, is what is important is what this book says. And oftentimes, we left to our own circle without directing ourselves to this book. We form all kinds of opinions. I can be a Christian and not attend church. You know, you can. But you will never fulfill your God-given destiny without a body around you. You will never do it. Because God designed us to fill our God-given plan with Him in partnership with His church. So when you are part of a local church, whether that's a church of 150 or 500 or 1,000, God is partnering you with other believers who will fulfill a destiny together. You can't do it on your own. We need each other. Because our purpose is to go and love God, to love people, to reach people, and to disciple people. Left to yourself, you may be a good person in this world, but you probably will never reach someone for Jesus. You definitely won't disciple them, and you definitely won't plug them to a larger kingdom purpose. We need each other. It is so important. Jesus came to die for all of humanity. He wants us to partner together and reach people together. Jesus came to give. We are to be givers. Now, you're going to help me here. On January 1st or December, what's the last day of December? 31st, I knew that, and not really. On December 31st, you will watch the Times Square, and they will be a countdown, and right at midnight, we'll count down for 2020, whoop, whoop, okay, and what happens during that time, we always count down. Are y'all ready for this? We say 10, 9, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, Happy New Year! Woo! 1, ooh, Happy New Year! The birth of Jesus in the manger was a countdown. The clock began to tick to the cross. Because Christmas, the coming of Jesus, isn't a sweet little nice story about a baby coming to this earth. It is a story that our Messiah was birthed to feel all of the effects of humanity. When you say, God, you don't understand, Jesus can say, I do. The Bible says he was tempted in all things and yet did not sin. He can relate to our journey because he's been there. The whole purpose of Christmas was to begin the countdown to the cross. And if we lose the cross in the midst of Christmas, we've lost the meaning. If we forget what this is all about, then we've lost it. It'd be kind of like going to work and forgetting what you do. You know, you go to a hospital. You know, you're Christina, and you go to the hospital. And I don't know where's Christina. She was in there. There she is. She goes to her hospital for work, and she goes, I thought I was a school teacher, you know. I don't really know. She goes in all her scrubs and everything, and she goes, oh, I work here? I didn't know that. You know, when we lose the meaning of Christmas, we forget it. It all becomes defined by something else. We must remember the cross in Christmas. This morning, as we begin to close, Jesus came for you, like in the story of Misha, to remember that Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what he got from that story. We must remember that Jesus is miraculous. We must remember that his gift is an indescribable gift, that he came to die. And we must remember that Christmas is the countdown to the cross. There's a meaning behind it. Moms and dads, whatever you do, teach your children the real story of Christmas. Always put Jesus. I remember one family in one of the churches I served, they used to put the manger scene on their fireplace over here, and they would put Mary and Joseph over here with no baby, and every day towards Christmas, they would wake up in the morning and see Mary and Joseph a little bit closer. Then on Christmas Day, here he is in the manger with the baby. Here they are in the manger with the baby. Just a way to model what Christmas is to them. Whatever you do, take them to places where they see the real meaning of Christmas. Make sure one story for my family, my family growing up, Christmas morning, my mom wouldn't cook. She cooked breakfast. My mom's an amazing cook. But on Christmas, she only heated up cinnamon rolls because she didn't want to cook on Christmas Day. And we would sit around the dinner table, our breakfast table, and she would read us the Christmas story. So before we went to any family members, I think we had already opened presents by that time, but before we had done anything else, we were reminded of what Christmas was all about. Moms and dads, don't forget to put Christ in Christmas. Don't forget to understand that it's about leading to the cross. Would you stand with me this morning? Would you just bow your heads right now? Father, would you just lead us in these next moments? Father, if we need to step back and remember the cross in Christmas, if we need to step back and put you back in the center of things that we are doing, Father, would you just do that in these moments? Would you just speak to the hearts of people that are right here and minister to them, God? Are there people here in this room that just feel overwhelmed right now because of this season? Overwhelmed, maybe a family of buying presents, of just overwhelmed. If that's you, just lift your hand. We just want to pray with you. If you feel overwhelmed. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you, God. Is there anybody in this room that just, maybe you've accepted Jesus many years ago, but right now, your walk with Jesus just isn't where it's supposed to be. And this morning, God's been speaking to you and telling you that you need to get it back where it should be. And you just say, man, I want to make a decision this morning. You say, man, I want to come back to where I'm supposed to be in my relationship with you. Is there anybody here for that? Anybody? When our leaders begin to make their way forward, if you are here and you're just feeling overwhelmed, you just want to join with somebody in prayer. Man, the best place we could go when we're overwhelmed is with Jesus. You don't have to share all the details to the people that are up here. You can just say, man, I'm just overwhelmed. But if you would come. If you're sick in body, if you need someone to lay hands on you, man, we want to be there for you. If you're struggling in a different area, if your relationship with God is not where it should be, would you just come make your way up? Would you come? Well, let me close with this. As you go about your Monday, your Tuesday, just remember the cross. I'm going to pray that God reminds you of this message. Get ready for a fun time over the next 4 weeks. I want you to have a joyful, absolute, amazing 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. Just remember Jesus in all of it. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather as your body to fulfill your plan together. God, you've not called us to be lone rangers. You've called us to walk corporately with other believers to fulfill your destiny, God. And Father, we all play a role in that. We thank you for that, God. And Father, several people lift up their hands just saying they're overwhelmed in this season, God. Father, would you restore their joy? Would you cause them to wake up with hope tomorrow morning, God? Would you give them the means to direct their path in a way that is healthy and good? Cause them to wake up singing songs about you, causing them to lay their burdens at your feet, God. I ask that you would restore their joy. And Father, if there's people in here that don't know you as Lord and Savior, God, or need to rekindle that relationship with you, Father, I pray that they would do it in this season, that this season would be a time they would look back, and this is the time that you changed their life, God. Father, cause us to be a people that remember the cross and Christmas, that the reason you came was the destiny to the cross. And never let us forget that during this season, God. We thank you for it, God. Father, we ask that we would be a church. We would be with other believers and all the other Bible-believing churches in the area. And we would just bring joy to everybody around, God. We wouldn't get frustrated at our Walmarts or at our grocery stores. We would bring joy everywhere we go. We praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all for coming. We'll see you next week or at a Go group. God bless you. Have a great one.